Acts chapter 9. We're just using that as a springboard for what we're doing in the way of judgment. And I'll ask you to stand, please, while we read verses 7 and 8. Psalms 9, 7 and 8. Some precious things are said here, some profound statements, and that really we should let stick in our hearts. But the Lord shall endure forever, and he will endure forever. He'll never cease to be. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And we've been talking about how he loved us, and he does, and he cares, and he's merciful and long-suffering, but he's also a God of judgment. He's holy, and his holiness he cannot deny, and therefore sin must be dealt with. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. And I do pray that you would speak to hearts tonight. And Lord, help us all as we think about your love for us and how much you did love and care and the grace and mercy. Thank you and praise you for it that we could be saved and born in the family of God. And then, Lord, maybe somebody here tonight is not saved. I pray the Holy Spirit bring real conviction to them. And I realize tonight it'll take the power of the Holy Ghost to convict and draw and bring them. Then I pray for those that are here and they're saved and their lives are lacking that joy and that thrill. I pray you deal with their hearts and then help all of us tonight to realize the fact that one day we must meet God and give an account to you. Help us all, I pray, to be sober-minded about it. And help us now to preach for a few moments. I pray for the power of God, touch of heaven, and help us and speak to our own heart and the hearts of this people. We'll praise you and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We talked about the fact of the judgment at Calvary of sinners for those, for everybody. He died. The Bible said he tasted death for every man. And so whether man will accept it or reject it is the question. So we can call it judgment at Calvary for sinners. But if you're a Christ rejecter, there will be another judgment that will come someday for you. And there will be another judgment for all of us, but not for salvation. When you get saved, as far as your salvation is concerned, that's, and you're being born in the family of God, being a son of God, and going to heaven, that's settled. That is settled forever. And then on, it's our stewardship that we're dealing with. But for those that are unsaved, they have to go to the great white throne judgment. But then as sons of God, we talked about that, dealing with us as a fact of sin in our lives, and if we will not confess it, I'm glad the Bible says we confess, he's just and able to forgive us and cleanse us. But if we don't confess it, he said he'd deal with us and chasten us. And he chastens us as a father does his son. That is, as parents do their children, to teach them right and keep them on the straight path, then they have to be disciplined, have to be helped. And so we talked about that. But then we come to the fact of being the judgment now as servants. And so we are servants of the Lord. God did not save us just to take us to heaven. That's not the only reason he saved us. If he had saved us just to take us to heaven, then our life would be, what purpose are we living for? Well, he left us here to give him glory, to serve him, give him praise, and to help other people come to know Christ as their Savior. He left us so the gospel could go out and so that we on this earth could be a light. He said, as long as he was here, he was the light of the world. Went away, said, ye are the light of the world. And so we are the bearer of that light. And we're like the moon. We have no light of our own, but it reflects the light of the sun. And we as Christian people, we should reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ through our lives that we may they maybe get a glimpse of him and realize they need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you'll turn there, please. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 3. I'm not going to go on all we went into last week, but we started this about the judgment of servants, the bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. It's called in Romans chapter 14, the judgment seat of Christ. And the bema seat is a Greek word that was used there for time when they were having their athletic things. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. And they would receive rewards or or else they wouldn't get any. But we talked about last week three classes of people. In chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians 14, talks about the natural man. And then in chapter 3, it talks about the carnal man and the spiritual man. And so we are dealing with that, and I pray that God would help us as we think about that. You fit in one of those three categories. You're either in the spiritual or the carnal or the natural. Now, the carnal is saved, but still a babe in Christ, not grown in the Lord. And natural is unsaved, never been born in the family of God. And the spiritual, those that are yielding their lives to God, trying to follow His will, trying to let the Holy Spirit fill them and use them for His glory and for His honor. And let me just plug this in right here. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a one-time happening. You get saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside and abides there. But being filled is not getting more of Him. You have Him living within you. Being filled with the Spirit of God is letting Him have more of you. And as He gets more of you, He wants all of you so that He might fill you and use you for His glory and His honor. Being filled with the Spirit is not what a lot of people think it is, but the Spirit fills us so we might bear witness of the Lord Jesus. He always talks about Jesus. He always points to Jesus. He always exalts Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit does that. Now, as we think about that, our lives, and now we're talking about our lives now, and then as servants, and we come in verse number 13. We're back up to verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. We talked about that last week, wood, hay, and stubble being that it was done, the works that were done for self-glory or to please somebody else or done for some other reason than to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and giving Him glory. That wood, that gold, silver, precious stone is that's done with the right motive in mind, to glorify Him and to do His will. Verse 13, every man's work shall be manifest, for that day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. All right, that's an interesting statement, I think, in Scripture. That if any man's work abide, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He shall suffer loss. Now, that's not losing salvation. We know that by Scripture. Saved forever and be in heaven. But suffer loss. I believe that loss will be when we see what we could have done and could have received and we do not receive. And that time, I believe the regret of that will be the suffering of the loss. At least that'll be some part of it. I'm not saying I understand all of that. I'm simply making an observation of what God spoke to my heart about in those verses. Now, I want you to turn with me, please, in Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter 10. We're going to get to this in just a moment about where I'm trying to drive to tonight. And we'll begin it. We'll no wise finish it, but we will start it. And maybe last year, I don't know when, but not too long ago, I know I mentioned the five crowns, and we're going to do that again. You know how you learn? By repetition. You learn by hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. I read this, and somebody said about preaching, you tell them that you're going to tell them, and then you tell them. And then when you get through telling them, you tell them that you told them. And that's how people learn. That's how people get a hold of what you're saying. But verse 41 and verse 42 of Matthew chapter 10. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. I simply want to read those two verses to emphasize the fact there will be rewards given out at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we ought to have an interest in that because every one of us is going to be there. Everyone's going to the judgment seat of Christ. Let me say just a few things about the judgment seat of Christ. First of all, who will be there? Saved people. Only saved people will be at the judgment seat of Christ. When does it take place? After the rapture. In Revelation 22, and I believe verse 12, Jesus said, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his works shall be. His works shall be. So he's talking about works, not salvation, but as his works shall be. It'll take place at that time. And that's the subject of that. Judgment is works. And so a lot of times we emphasize, and we should emphasize, saved by grace through faith, not of works. And I don't want anybody to ever think that they get to heaven because they come to church, or they get to heaven because they do this or do that, do something else. Your works has nothing, positively nothing, to do with your going to heaven. You go to heaven because you're saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ and fully trusting Him, having repented of sin and turned unto Christ. That is the only way that you're going to go to heaven. And works has absolutely nothing to do. He paid it all, the songwriter said. All to Him I owe. I say, praise God, that's true. Jesus paid my sin debt. But now, I'm talking about works now. After you are saved, it does matter about works. And that's what we're going to be judged for one day, is according to our works and how we've done, what we did, why we did it, and so forth. It's going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And so I pray that you'll keep that in mind as we talk about this. And I remember the message that Brother Eddie Davis preached during Jubilee. Brother Walker talking about Jubilee during his testimony. What a great testimony that was. And surely God has done a work in his heart, is doing a work. It's a good sign somebody gets right with God when they're trying to find out, what can I now do? What can I now do? Hallelujah. And see, God, someday, even that desire to do, God takes note to that. And God will show him as he guides him along the way. And he just recently rededicated his life, recently getting things squared away with God and getting in the Word of God, doing what God had him do. God will show him. He'll have somebody to witness to, somebody he can get to church, something he can do somewhere along the way that can be a blessing and a help. And God will reward that someday. I don't believe you can keep the nursery in church without getting a reward for it. If you do it because you love God and you're doing it so you can help families and situations. Amen. I believe people keep watch your parking lot. I believe they have a reward because they do it if they love God and doing it so people can come to church without worrying about somebody breaking in their cars and they can have a, amen. I believe you sweep a floor, pick up a piece of trash. Whatever you do, if you do it because you love Him and doing it to magnify Him, and those that set water on my pulpit for me at night, they won't lose their rewards, and somebody lost one tonight. I wouldn't dare call anybody's name, but I reached over here for a cup of water and it was not here. Good illustration, thank you. But had he put it here, he would have received a reward. As of right now, he is suffering loss. And if he could, he'd go under the pew and under the carpet. But he's pickable, and I'm thankful he is. It's all right, Brother Mark. Don't worry. I said, I'm going to call a name, didn't I? But the Lord said, that which is done in secret shall be proclaimed on the housetops. I'm just being biblical. But anyway, amen. But anyhow, I'm talking about the minor things we sometimes think. Sometimes people think to receive a reward, you got to do something great in man's eyes, you know. And that missionary that has left everything of this world's goods and this life and has gone out there on a mission field somewhere and given their life, they will have a great reward. No greater, certainly they will have. But that person that stayed at home, and they didn't have the ability to go. God didn't call them to go. But they stayed as true to God, and they was faithful to witness, and they was faithful to pray for that missionary. They was faithful to give. They was faithful to do all that. They won't be any better off at the judgment seat than that missionary is. I'm trying to tell you, we're in this thing together. It's not what you do. It's not what you do, except if you're not doing the will of God. Now, that's a bad thing, be out of the will of God. But if you're doing the will of God and doing faithfully because you love the Lord Jesus, then that's where the reward comes in. It's not that great something that somebody's going to look at and pat you on the back about, being in a pulpit or being four class or whatever it is, or singing a song. Whatever it is. That has its place, has its rewards if you're faithful to it, but that's not what it's all about. It's doing it because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, preacher. That's good. And I praise God for it. Now, those five, there's only five crowns mentioned in Scripture. And I'll certainly not exalt those, but I'll give you one or two tonight, and then we'll pick up some more later. But look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 9 and verse number 24. I'll give you time to turn there and find that, because you can mark it in your Bibles and have it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And everyone that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Said, I'm not shallow boxing. I'm not like that. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest it by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, I want to continue in this thing. I want to be faithful in it. I want to bring my body in subjection. I want to do that because I do not want to become a castaway. And let me say this to all of us. You can become a castaway and put on the shelf and God not use you. There are things that disqualify. Certain things happen. But I'm glad that God, when people repent and get right with God, they still can count for God. Amen. Amen. But I do want you to see this, that what he's saying is, this is a disciplined life. A disciplined life. Now, I don't know about you, but every one of us probably, I know all of us better than that, all of us have problems with self-discipline. And self-discipline is a difficult thing, because we all have the same flesh. We all have things, and my flesh may be in weakness in one area, yours in another, but we all have something we're dealing with and something we have to deal with day by day. But here he's using an athlete as an illustration, a runner. And notice what he said about that. And he said, they all run, but one to receive a prize. He said, so run. Every man striving for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run. And said, and I fight and I run, and I do that not for a corruptible crown, but for incorruptible. I'm keeping my body in subjection. A person that stays in shape to play ball and run a race, they have to temper themselves. They have to bring themselves in subjection. There are some things they do without, and there's some things they have to work at, and lifting weights or keeping themselves in shape to build up their stamina so they can run. And I remember playing football in high school, and the coach laid down some rules about us and what time we were supposed to be in at night. And teenagers didn't always follow those rules. And I remember one night in particular that I was in a place getting a sandwich or something, and in came the coach. And it was past time. I was supposed to have been at home. And he looked at me, and I knew I was in a heap of trouble. He just kind of shook his head at me and went on about his business. But the thing about it is, Cecil Sturgill was the other fella. Now, the two fellas I'm talking about, I'm preaching tonight, and he's probably preaching in Kingsport, Tennessee tonight. And both of us is in trouble. And he didn't say anything, but the next evening in practice, and after football practice is over, he said, boys, called us aside, said, now run. And told us how many laps we had to run around that ball field. I can't remember how many laps it was. But I can tell you, after a few of them, I was taking off a jersey and then the shoulder pads and anything else I could take off that wasn't indecent, and I could run and keep running, because he made us run to our tongue lagged out. And what he was teaching us was discipline. And saying that you should not have been there, because if you're going to stay in shape, if you're going to keep your body to play football, then you're going to have to discipline yourself. And I didn't do that, but he saw to it that I got some help with it. And what I'm trying to say to you tonight is, if we won't discipline ourselves, God will see to it that you get some help with it. And he'll help you if you get out of line too much, amen. And he has some guidelines for our lives that we need to follow. Everybody needs some guidelines. And somebody said, well, y'all, we're free in Christ. We are. We're free to live right. We're free to do everything that's right. We're free to do that that pleases him. If you're going to play ball, I noticed playing football, they had a white line down the side. And if you stepped out of that thing, you was out of bounds. And you could run all you want to out there, but didn't count. Run across the goal line, run. But if you ever stepped out of bounds, you was out of bounds, and that was it. And so God has guidelines set up in his word. He means for us to follow. And when we step out of bounds, we're out of bounds. He has to deal with that. And it doesn't go any further in life till you get that straightened out. And so I'm trying to help you tonight. And you need to discipline yourself. And not only for the fact that you're a better testimony in this world, and your light will shine brighter, and you can help more people, but in fact, one day you're going to meet Jesus Christ and give an account to him about your life and that incorruptible crown that you may win. How do you win the incorruptible crown? Preacher, what do I do to get that crown? You discipline yourself. And over in Hebrews chapter 1 and 2, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sitting down at the right hand of God. Now, in that, he's saying in chapter 11, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses that gave their life for the cause of Christ and for the cause of the glory of God. He said, let us lay aside every weight and sin. It's nothing. And Brother Walker was sharing with me the other night, and Brother Walker, I'm using you because you're fresh on my mind. I can't. And we had a great fellowship back in my office Sunday evening before church. And he just talking to me about his life and sharing some things. And some things that he talked about that had changed in his life already is things that some things may have been wrong in themselves. And some may not have been so wrong in themselves, but it wasn't good. And it may be something in your life. It's not wrong to play a ball game, but if you get obsessed with playing ball and that becomes your God, that is wrong. Amen. If March Madness or the dance, whatever they're calling this thing with the basketball, if you get so wrapped up in that, it takes place of serving God, that's wrong. Amen. If you hunt or play golf or whatever it is you do, if that becomes more important to you than church and serving God, doing what God says to do, then that becomes wrong. Amen. Things good within themselves can be all right, but when it comes to taking place with serving God, it's wrong. Amen. Amen. I got these good preaching. Amen. And we need some help in that area. Amen. Well, preacher, I'd come to church, but this and that and the other, you know. Who's most important, God or the world? What's most important in your life anyhow? And if we're going to win an incorruptible crown, in that day, when we stand before Jesus, it is that we put God first in our lives and discipline ourselves and bring ourselves in subjection to the Lord and say, now, you know, this thing, I've had people come to me and they're asking me about something. Is this right or wrong? It may be something that is not necessarily, you can find a scripture and says it's wrong. Maybe something has a principle in the Bible you can help them with. And sometimes it's something that there's not anything that really is right or wrong about it, period. It's just one of those things. But they're asking the question. You know why? They're asking the question because it's already bothering them. If it's already bothering you, then leave it alone. The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith, if it's doubt, it's wrong. And so if it's not of faith, it's sin. That's what the Bible said. And so if you already got doubts about it, just leave it alone, go on. You'll be better off anyhow. Amen? Amen. That's good preaching too. And that illustration, I can't get away from it, about the king looking for the chariot driver and tried out a bunch of them and took them to a mountainside And one side of the road dropped off a cliff real deep. The other side was next to the wall of the mountain. And said he tried them out, and the first few, they saw how close they could drive to the edge without dropping off. And the last one he tried out saw how close he could get to that bank without hitting it. And he said, I'll take that one instead of the others. And that one trying to show his skill, he's just being safe. Amen. It's not how close the world can I live and get by with it. It's how much of God can I get and enjoy. How much can I magnify God? How much can I glorify Him? How much can I do for the glory of God? Hey, if we get to doing all we can do for the glory of God, it won't be a problem about the unnecessary things. They'll drop off by themselves. Amen. Because you'll be too busy doing what God has for you to do. Amen. And so tonight, I'm talking about incorruptible crown. I'm not going to try to go any further, else we'll be here too long. But I'm trying to tell you, and we need to get this and set in our hearts. It's a good place to start. The incorruptible crown. And let's work toward that for the glory. Now do it not to brag on yourself, not to say, well, I don't do this and I don't do that and I've got this and I've done. No, no. We're doing this for the glory of Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. If we do it that way, it'll work out all right. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Scriptures that you give us and make it so plain to us about our lives and this disciplined life, self-discipline, by the help and the grace of God. Father, I realize I cannot do that in myself. I need your help. I pray, God, help us and guide us and direct us as individuals and as a church that we'll bring the discipline it needs to guide us in the right direction and do those things we need to do for the glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, stand to your feet, please.